Okay, we're starting here at the top of Tzarich Ed Amun Aleph. The Gemara is in the middle of darshaning the Pasuk of Zot HaTorah, where it has a list of all the karbonot and hekeshot between all the karbonot. We had already done Olah, which is Ma'olah Tuna Kli, Af Kol Tuna Kli, which was the reference to the fact that you needed a sakin. The second thing we did was Ma'mincha. Ma'mincha in an Echel Tel Zichrei Kuhuna is only named by the Mel Kohanim. And there we said that it was teaching us about Shalmi Tzibur. And we left off with the fact that that's a Machloket Tanaim, where the source for the Shalmi Tzibur is by the Mincha. Now we're up to the Chatat. So we have Chatat. Ma Chatat mitkadeshet bivalua. Afko mitkadeshet bivalua. So Chatat teaches us the din that we've been discussing until now, which is that the Chatat can affect the other karbanot. Because we said in the pasuk by the chatat, kol asher yigah b'bsara yigdash, anything that touches it becomes kodesh, like it takes on the properties of the chatat, whether the chatat is kasher, and it will take on the properties of a kodesh kodashim, or even if the chatat is psula, nevertheless it will impose its status on whatever is absorbing from it. So, two, by all the other karbanot, we're going to say that it's mitkadeshet bivalua. So from there, we have a conclusion. Machatat mitkadeshet bivalua, afko mitkadeshet bivalua. Rashi here points out, well, wait a minute, we could have learned that out of a mincha. Because by the mincha, it also says, kol asher yigaba yigdash. So by mincha, you could also learn the same din of balua. So we're going to see in a little bit, we'll see that you can't do that, because you could say that mincha was used, as we said before, for zichrei kuhuna, and if mincha already is used to teach a zichrei kuhuna, then maybe we wouldn't be able to learn about the balua from the mincha, and we would say that balua by mincha is exceptional, because the mincha is softer, and since it's softer and absorbent, that's why it has a din of balua, but would not apply to the behemot, to the other karbanot. So Agmar says, Asham, Ma Asham ein shvir v'shaliya kadosh bo, Avko ein shvir v'shaliya kadosh bo. Just like by an Asham, the placenta and the fetus are not kadosh in it, so too, all karbanot, the fetus and the placenta are not kadosh in them. How do we know that by an Asham? How do we know by an Asham that the fetus and the placenta are not kadosh? Because an Asham always comes from a zachar, is always male. So since it's always a male karban, it can never have a fetus or a placenta. So Mar is going to say, "Kasavar, he must hold vladot koshim behaviatane kadoshim." Number one, he must hold that the vladot, any kodesh that is pregnant or has a fetus inside of it, that fetus does not become kadosh b'kedusha until it is born. Once it's born, it will take on the kedusha. But while it's in utero, while it's inside of its mother's womb, it has no kedusha. That's number one. And the second one, which is important, danin efshar, mishi efshar, that you can learn out the din of something that is possible from something that's impossible. Because that's exactly what we're doing here. We're saying the reason that there's no shvir and shaliyah is because we're learning out from an asham. Asham is a male korban, and that's why it doesn't have it. So we're learning out from efshar to efshar. Efshar like a chatat and a shlamim, which are females that have the possibility of a shvir and shaliyah. We're going to learn that out from the asham, which has no such possibility. Now Rashi again asks over here, what about the fact that you can learn out of an olah? Olah has the same exact situation. An olah always comes from a male, from a zachar. So if a male, if a olah also comes from a zachar, you can make the same limud you have from a sham, you can make out of an olah. So there we can't do that limud. Why? Because an olah is khalil. So since an olah is khalil, we wouldn't be necessarily have learnt from an olah to others. But you can say by the olah, the reason that the shvir and the shaliyah have to be excluded are because of the fact that they are khalil dashim. But over here, by the cases of shlamim and chatat, where a portion ends up with the Kohen and a portion ends up on the Mizbeach, maybe over there we would say that the Shvir and the Shaliyah are Kadosh. Then also, Rashi here points out again that we could have learned out Zichrei Kuhuna from Chatat and Hashem. The Gemara asked that question. Over here, who do we need Zichrei Kuhuna for? The Gemara says, well, Bechatat Hashem, it says Behejik Dibu. It says explicitly, Kol Zachor B'Kohenim Yochlenu. So then, why do we have to learn that out of a Mincha? Why don't we learn that out of a Chatat and Hashem? So Rashi quotes, we actually saw these Pesukim earlier in the Vesechta, which is that it says, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu, both by the Chatat and the Hashem. It says, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu, and I would think, who is a miut? Who? It has these requirements, but nothing else has these requirements. So therefore, I learned that out of Mincha. So basically what Rashi is doing all the way through here is trying to figure out, if I have possibilities of learning this out from multiple karbanot, why did the Gemara choose this one karban? So he asked that by Zichrei Kuna, why do we pick Mincha to learn it out from? Why don't we learn it out from Chatat HaNasham? He says, well, Chatat HaNasham might have that mute of Kodesh Kodeshim Hu, and therefore we learned it out of Mincha. Why do we learn out from Hashem, the fact that you don't bring a Shvir Shaliyah, you can learn that out of Olah. Maybe Olah is unique because it's Kaliyo, and therefore I wouldn't have learned to a Chatat and a Shlamim from an Olah. And with Balua, why do we learn that out of Chatat and not out of Mincha? We said maybe because Mincha will use for Zichrei Kuna, and Mincha, the fact that it's Balua will be an exceptional case because the Mincha is absorbent, is softer, it has more absorbent properties, and therefore that was the unique status of the Mincha, and therefore we learned it out of the Chatat and not out of the Mincha. And now the Gemara goes, Miluim. Ma Miluim Motrehem Bisreifa, Ven Belei Chaim Bimotrehem, Afko Motrehem Bisreifa, Ven Belei Chaim Bimotrehem. The Miluim teach us, Miluim are Korban Zibur, they were used during the Shiva Jimeha Miluim, they were used for the placement of the Kohanim into service in the Mishkan. And over there, we have two dinim. One is that motar. Anything that's left over from the miluim has to be burnt. But motar, anything that's left over is put on the ish, is burnt up. So that's number one din. The second din is that it doesn't have an extra animal. What does that mean, an extra animal? Because we have, by karbanot, the ability that a person can take out or set aside two bar karbanot le'achrayut. Means that if I bring this karban, then that's fine. But if I lose this karban, if something happens to it, this is my backup. This is achrayut. So he's mekadesh le'achrayut. Or, if a person loses a karban, they had a karban, it got lost, and now they bring in a replacement. They bring in the replacement, and then they find the original. So what happens to that secondary animal? What happens to it? So over here, by Miluim, the din is that it's a Korbanat Zibur, and by Korbanat Zibur, you don't have that. Korbanat Zibur, you don't bring in backups. It doesn't get lost. That's something where we assume that Zibur takes care of it. There's not going to be any of these issues. That's usually something that we worry about by the Yachid. But since by the Miluim, the only thing that, number one, is burnt is Notar, that which is left over from the Korban itself. And number two, there are no leftover live animals from the Miluim because we don't get a backup. We don't have it get lost. So there are no backup animals. So that shows us that the backup animals also do not get burnt because there are no backup animals here. So from that, we will extend or extrapolate to other korbanot. The number one, notar gets burnt. Anything that's left over will get burnt. And number two is that if you have an extra animal, for instance, where you're mafrish two for achrayut, or one got lost and you're mafrish the second one, that second animal, that second behemah, when you're mafrish the first one as a korban, the second one doesn't get burnt. The second one is brought as a nidava, or whatever, depending if it's an asham or a chatat or a shlamim or a la, depending what it is. If it can be brought as a nidava, it's brought as a nidava. Chatat has a special rule of Allah the Moshe Mishinai that it'll go with the mitah, and by nasham it'll be yireh achiste, if it'll go out and graze until it gets a mum, and then we'll redeem it and bring a nidava with that animal. But you see from this, from the miluim, that's what you learned, that only items that are directly involved with the korban itself, they get burnt if they're left over. A live animal or something that is separate from it, if it's left over, then that animal is not burnt. It doesn't have a din of notar. It's not called notar to the sense that it's burnt. It's left over, but it has to be treated like its own category. And the last thing we have in that puzzle is shlamim. Ma shlamim mifaglim umitpaglim. We saw this pitpaglim. We saw this earlier in the Masechta, that the din, or the ikar din, if pigul is learned out of the parsha of shlamim, and from the hekesh of Zot HaTorah, we apply the fact that pigul applies to broadly all korbanot, not just to the shlamim. This will apply that both mifaglim, actually calls et anesachim, you can be mifagel, the nesach that comes along with the shlamim, and the fact that they are mitpaglim, they themselves become pigul. Tosa says it was unnecessary for Rashi to learn that way. Could have just said that mifaglim is the basar al yidei adam, that you can have the makshava by the dam and affect the basar or affect the emurim. That could be the mifaglim, and then mitpaglim is that they themselves become pigul. So now, b'tnitza tano, we have a braita mishmeit Rabbi Akiva. We have a braita in the name of Rabbi Akiva that goes through this pasuk and darshes it in a slightly different way. So he says mincha, and this is the question that Rashi had asked, but now Rabbi Akiva actually learns it this way. Mincha, ma mincha mikadeshet bivalua, avkom mikadeshet bivalua. Talua. So over here, again, instead of using the Chatat for this Limud, he uses, as Rashi had asked before, he uses the Mincha for this Limud. And Al Gemara says, V'itzrich, and I need both of these Limudim. Iksir the Mikhtav Mincha, V'itzrich the Mikhtav Chatat. I need the Limud from the Mincha, and I need the Limud from the Chatat. Diyashmina Mincha, if you just told me Mincha, I did the Rekicha. The fact that it's soft, mivlo, and therefore it's more absorbent, I would thought it was a unique din that is associated with mincha. Aval chatat, imlo, when it comes to chatat, I would say no. Vishminin chatat, if I had just said about a chatat, nishum de karir, because it is thick and porous, as Rashi says, it's a thick slab of meat that the grease can get into the cracks and throughout the piece of meat. So maybe I would think there that that type of animal, that is absorbent or it gives off flavor, but when it comes to a mincha, emelo, so tzricha, therefore I need both the chatat and the mincha to teach me that din, that both the balua applies broadly to all carbonot, not just to the mincha or the chatat uniquely. And that says chatat. And as Tosos points out of here, tarti darish mechatat, Rabbi Akiva is going to darshan two things from chatat, because you already used the chatat for the drasha of balua, and now we're going to have an additional drasha that comes out of chatat. Ma chatat in a bala min achulin, ubayom, ubiyadua yemanit. I learn now the word chatat. I learned, just like a chatat, only can be brought from chulin, only can be brought during the daytime, and all the avodah is done with his right hand. Av kol in a baila min a chulin. So too, all other karbanot have to come from chulin, ubayom, and brought during the daytime, ubayadua yemanit, and the avodah should be done with the right hand. Bechatat minalon. How do we know all these facts by chatat? So Amar Chista Makral, the pasuk says, v'kriv aron et par chatat asher lo. This is by Avodat Yom HaKippurim, the par of Aron HaKohen, it says, v'kriv aron et par chatat asher lo. Mishalo velo shel tzibur. That has to be his, and not belonging to the tzibur, velo shel ma'aser, and not from the ma'aser. In addition, in that parsha, it says, which is the parshat of Yom Kippurim, there it also mentions the fact that it is done by v'yom hazeh yichaper aleichem, that on that day, so there we know from there also that the avodah is done by yom, and the fact that it has the term etzba and kihuna, we learn from that that it has to be done with his right hand. So in the parshat achrei mot, by the part of Yom Kippurim, it says kiyum hazei chaper aleichem. It says v'kiyum de parasha lo, and it has kuna and etzba. From there, we'll learn the all facts, these three facts. And the Gemara says, wait a minute, bayom. Is that where we learn bayom from? That you have to do all avodah during the day? Don't we learn that out? Bayom tzavato nafka. From the fact that it says bayom tzavato on the day that he commanded him to do this. Then we learn from there that that's why we have to do a avodah during the yom. The Gemara says kedei naspo. It was brought down as a sidebar. You're right. Ein ochanami bayom. We learn out from bayom tzavato from parsha tzav. But we just mentioned it here too. We mentioned also in this limud biyadoyim minit. When it comes to the right fact that you always have to do a avodah with the right hand, that's midrabba barchana nafko. Tam rabba barchana marish lakish koma kom shnei ma etzba vekuna ele yamin. The fact that it says etzba and kuhuna, that's how we know that you do it with your right hand, not from the fact of avodah tiyom. Kippurim, so Gemara says again, kedei naspo. It was just dragged along. Ein ochanami, you're right. We learned it out from etzba and kuhuna, but we just mentioned it here along with the chatat. So the main limud from the chatat is ma chatat ene bala min echudin. The chatat comes from the chudin. Everything else has to come from the chudin. But with the adoam yemanit and the issue of bayom are learned out from other psukim. They're just dragged along here. They're not brought from the limud of Yom HaKippurim. So the only thing we'll learn out from the part of Yom HaKippurim is the fact that it comes from chulin and it cannot come from maser or anything else that is kodesh beforehand. And some say the savalak of Rabbi Shimon, that he also Rabbi Shimon damar etzba lo bay kehuna. Kehuna bay etzba. The old Rabbi Shimon that says that etzba, the word etzba always means yamin. And then for you don't need the word kehuna involved in it. Whereas kehuna bay etzba. On the other hand, if the word kohen is the only thing that is mentioned, then you also do require etzba to teach me that it is the right hand. Kehuna by itself does not mean yamin. Whether you just need the word kohen to teach you that you need yamin, or you need the word kohen and etzba to teach you that it means yamin, it'd be done with the right hand. And therefore, we know by the chatat has both etzba and kuhuna mentioned by it. Since it has both etzba and kuhuna mentioned by it, therefore we know it's done with the right hand, and we can extrapolate from that to all the other karbanot from the hekesh. Whereas other karbanot have the word kohen mentioned by them, but do not have the word etzba mentioned by them. So we would not be able to learn out by other karbanot the requirement for yamin, because they only have the word kuhuna mentioned, not the word etzba. And since they don't have the word etzva mentioned, we need chatat to teach us about yamin and to take that, to extrapolate it to all the other karbanot. Asham. So what is learned out of the word asham? Ma asham atzmutav mutarim. Afkol atzmutav mutarim. Just like by the asham, the bones are permissible for your own use, so too, all bones of karbanot are permissible for your own use. So where do we, what is the limit from? So if you look in Rashi, ma asham atzmutav mutarim, it's the second class Rashi here. It says, lasot mehen kelim anishamati. So he says, I heard that you can use the bones to make kelim out of them, to make utensils out of them, spoons, bowls, whatever you want to do out of the bones. Because these parts of the korban are eaten by the kohanim. Fine. If the basar of a korban is mutar the kohanim, it still has a tongue expiration. So even if the basar is mutar, why does it mean that's motar mutarim? So the answer is, there is no notar ba'atzamot, because atzamot are not eaten. Basar is eaten, but atzamot are not eaten. So since there's no notar shayachir, and they are mutarim the kohanim, therefore you can do whatever you want with them, include make long-term kelim with them. So where does it, Rashi says, where do we learn that from? How do we know this fact by the asham? It says, well, we learned it out of the fact that it says by the asham, v'nir b'inai, midelo yeh yeteira naflan. So it says by the asham, lo yeh. And we actually, earlier in the Masechta, learned exer shavar from asham to olah, from lo yeh. That's how we know that the orot, that the skins of the olah are lo yeh. And also over here by the asham, it says lo yeh. So now it says, by that extra lo yeh of the asham, he says, that's how we know that the etzamot belong to the kohen and can do whatever he wants with them. That's how Rashi says the limud works over here, that the asham was singled out because it says lo yeh extra by it. That extra teaches us that they can do whatever they want with the etzamot, and the etzamot don't have a nuktar associated with them because they are not ra'ui la'achila. And based on that, we extrapolate to all other karbanot, I mean for an olah and a chatat, any korban, then one may do what they please with the etzamot. Even something like an olah where it's kalil la'ashem, the etzamot are still free for the kohanim to do as they please with them. Right, so about Amarova. Rava says, Pshitali, it's clear to me that if dam chatat lamato, if someone has a beged on which was splashed dam chatat, v'dam olah lamalo, and then on top of that, splash dam olah ta'un kibus. It for sure needs to be laundered, has to be cleaned up, because the dam chatat got into the beged. But my question is like this. By Rava, dam olah lamata. On the other hand, if there was a splash of dam olah first onto the beged, and then dam chatat lamalo, and on top of that sprinkled or landed the dam chatat, mahu, what's the din? Mishum no geyahu. The problem is that we have blood that touches the beged, and this blood is touching the beged. Maybe it's because of absorbency that the problem is. It has to be absorbed into the beged. And over here, it is not being nivla, it's not being absorbed because it was already saturated with the dam ha'ola. It's not so clear that the physical properties this would work like that, but let's assume that the dam ha'ola, which is already absorbed into the beged, prevents the dam ha'chatat from being now absorbed into the beged. And since there's no bliyah, there's no absorption into the beged, maybe there you would not require kibbutz. But he's basically asking is, what's the generator? What's the pivotal point of generation of kibbutz, or the chiyuv of kibbutz? Is it the fact that it's touching the beged? Or is it the fact that it's been absorbed into the beged? It's harder pashto. Afterwards, he answered, the ain tunim kibbutz. Does not need to be laundered, that the absorption is the determining factor when it comes to kibbutz, that simply the fact that it touches the beged is not enough. Amarava. Pshituli, it's clear to me, damal bigdo chotzeitz. If someone has blood on their beged, then that is chotzeitz. If you go to be tovel such a beged and there's blood on it, that'll be a chatzitza, because people are makpid not to have stains on their beged. If they have a blood stain on their beged, they're not going to wear it until they clean it out. Vim tabachu, on the other hand, if he's a butcher, eno chotzeitz. It's not a chatzitza, because a butcher expects to have blood stains on his begadim. That's part of his work. It's his work clothes. So he expects to have blood stains on it, and therefore, even if he puts it into the mikveh with the blood stains on it, it's not chotzeitz, because he's not makpid on it. Chatzitza is all about kpeda, whether you care or don't care about it. A chatzitza only matters if you would care about it, if you normally would remove it. If you normally won't remove it, then it's not a chatzitza. Ravav, we're talking about grease, al bigdo chotzeitz. If you have a grease stain on your beged, that is a chotzeitz. V'imocha ravavu, if he's a seller of grease, and Rashi calls ravav, kol davar natuch, anything that melts, v'on shuman, fat, chelev, v'shavo, or wax, v'imocha ravavu, eno chotzeitz. And it's not chotzeitz because he would expect to have such stains on his beged, and he does not consider that to be problematic or to be unpleasant to walk around with a beged as such, because that's his profession. By Rava. Rava had a question like this. So that was his pshita. Now his question. Dam rivavav. Dam viravav al bigdo. He has both blood and grease on his beged. Mahu. Im tabachu. Typically mishum ravav. Well, if he's only a butcher, then the problem is the grease stains, because he only had blood stains. If he's a seller of the greasy items, typically mishum dam, then he would be makbid because of the dam side of it. So Lotricha David Havaha. He has a dual track profession here. He is both a butcher and a seller of grease. Achada lo kapit. Do we say about such an individual, if he has one type of stain on his baguette, he's not makbid, either blood or grease? But if he has both, atarte kapit, if he has both stains, then it'd be makbid, that's too much. That makes his baguette look really dirty, and then he would be upset about it. Odilma atarte nami lo kapit. Or maybe such an individual whose profession involves both being a butcher and selling grease, therefore he would have stains from both items. Maybe there, lo kapit, he also would not be makbid, and the Gemara leaves that as a teku, and leaves it as unresolved. With that, we complete the Perek of Dam Chatat, and now we'll just begin the Mishnah for the next Perek, and tomorrow we'll start with the Gemara. Tvuyom umchusur kippurim enan chokim b'kodoshim. So here we're discussing who gets the right to eat of the kodoshim that were brought in Mikdash on that day. So a tvuyom, that's someone who's gone to the mikveh, but still has to wait to be tahor for the shemesh, for the sun to set. So since at the moment that the korban is being brought, he's not ra'ui to do the avoda or to eat the korban, therefore he's precluded from dividing up the korban even that night. Even though it's permissible to eat after he will be tahor, nevertheless, since he's not ra'ui at that moment, it's no good. Chusur kippurim is someone who has to bring a korban to finish off their process of tahara. That is someone like a yoledet, someone like a zav. So those people have 7 days of tumah. Even after the seventh day, they have an eighth day where they bring a korban. On that eighth day, when they bring their korban, they're considered a mechusur kippurim until they bring their korban. So that's a tvu yom mechusur kippurim inan cholkim bekodeshim. They do not divide up the kodeshim lechol erev to eat that night. Onein, an onein is someone who is a niftar in front of them that is yet to be buried. So then nogeya veinu makriv. He can touch the kodeshim, but he can't be makriv them. Veinu cholek lechol erev, and he also cannot divide up to eat that night.
Even if he's niftar,
he will be. If the mate is buried that day, then that night time he'll be tahor. That's the point. The point is that even though the sun will set and he'll automatically be tahor that night, we don't allow him to divide it up. So now bali mumim, ben bali mumim ovrim, ben bali mumim kivuim. This is someone who has a blemish, and that's whether it's a temporary blemish or a permanent blemish. Chokim ve'ochlim. They are amongst the kohenim that divide and eat. So even though they're not ra'ui the hakrava, they couldn't do the avoda because of their mum in the mikdash. Nevertheless, they're still entitled to get a portion of all the karbanot. Avolu makrivim. But they certainly can't do akrava. So now the Mishnah gives you the principle. Kol she'enu ra'oi la'avoda, enu cholek ba'basar. Anybody who can't perform the avoda at the time that it's being done doesn't get a right to divide up the basar. V'chol she'enu basar, enu ba'orot. And if you're not entitled to eat the flesh, you also don't get a portion of the skins that are divided up. So now that principle goes against what we just said in the Mishnah. The principle makes sense, except you just mentioned bali mumim. You said bali mumim ena makrivim. They don't bring the karbanot, yet they still are entitled to divide. It goes against that principle, and the Gemara will have to explain that. Even someone who was tamei at the time that the zrika was done, v'tahor b'shat hekter chalavim, and he was tahor at the time that they put the fats on the mizbeach, enu cholek b'basar. He does not have a right to divide up the basar. Shne'mar, because the pasuk says, "Amakriv v'dam ashlamim v'tchelav b'mnei aron lo tiyeh shok hayamin l'mana." The person who does the akravat adam and the chelav is entitled to the shok hayamin l'mana. Is entitled to get the portion of the kohanim. So you see that the zrika adam is important in the ability of the kohen to divide up with him. With the other kohanim, the leftovers of the karbanot. So therefore, if he's tameh at the time of the zrikat dam, he's precluded from participating over here. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't want to be goreis the pasuk here because the Gemara learns it out from a different pasuk later on. We'll deal with that when we get to the pasuk in the Gemara. The last thing to note over here is that the Mishnah mentions over here mechusar kippurim. Mechusar kippurim only requires to bring a korban to come tahor. So why is it over here in the Mishnah meant that he has to wait the chol erev, that he has to wait until nighttime? Oh wait, why do you have to wait till nighttime? Now there is a din midrabanan that a mechusar kippurim has to go to the mikveh. But when you have tefillah derabanan, you don't require erev shemesh. It's just a protective tefillah. You don't have to wait for sunset. So even if you want to say that we're talking about the tefillah of derabanan, the tefillah derabanan, you can do that tefillah and eat right away. Why do you need to wait lechol erev? Why do you have to wait until nighttime in order to eat? So on that Tosos here, it's a large Tosos that discusses it. He says, "Mashma hacha mechusar kippurim shebiu korbaton ba'udayin tefillah v'erev shemesh." Mechusar kippurim that brings their korban sounds like here they have to do tefillah and wait for erev shemesh. And then Tosos brings a couple of examples like that. But then he says afterwards that there are numerous examples to the fact that that's just not true. That you, when you have a tefillah derabanan, you do not require erev shemesh. At the way in the Tosos, he brings some exceptions to that. One exception about when it comes to a akum tumat akum. Takum or Trumat Harula. So those two items that even though the tefillah is only midrabbanan, nevertheless you require Heruv Shemesh. But over here throughout Shas, we see that a Michuser Kippurim does not require Heruv Shemesh. All you need to do is bring your korban, go to the mikveh, and you can eat right away. So he says that maybe it was brought down here today Naspo. In that for Michuser Kippurim, you have to wait. As soon as they bring their korban and they go to the mikveh, they could eat. The bride of Lechol Erev is modifying the Tevul Yom and not modifying the Michuser Kippurim over here. Because the Michuser Kippurim does not have to wait until nighttime. He just has to complete the korban and go to the mikveh and he could eat right away. We'll stop over here and we'll deal with the Gemara tomorrow.